Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
It has been a few months since you made your New Year's resolution. Are you still on track with accomplishing them? Or have they already faded into the regular day-to-day activities? Even if you didn't make New Year's resolution, we all have dreams. Dreams we hold so close to our hearts. But somehow it just doesn't seem to materialize. Why does this happen? It is due to the program that's known as, get this, I am not good enough. Well, where did you get that from? This belief was passed down to you in your DNA from your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your ancestors. What can be done to change this, I hear you ask? It's genetic voice printing. Genetic voice printing is a cutting-edge technology that allows you to connect with your subconscious mind, get this, with your subconscious mind while you're awake, and consciously delete the not good enough programming. Fascinating. For more information and a free consultation, visit geneticvoiceprints.com. That's geneticvoiceprints.com or call 404-808-8150. That's 404-808-8150.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex. Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
So amazing with our hands and our hearts. can always learn something. Open up, then we find we needed each other all along. Our intention and focus is to build this bridge together. Can make a change for the better.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
On Life Conversations Radio, and of course it's afternoon depending on where you are in the world. We're coming from the East Coast today at 12 noon, as we do every Friday. But for all our friends around the world and across the country, good morning, good evening. All we want to say is welcome. We have an exciting show today, as every Friday, but today we are talking about how we deal with some of the issues that are affecting our global family. We're concentrating today on water, so I'm very happy to have as my guests today Sue and Garrett from Wisdom Springs, Inc., out of Leesburg, Virginia. And we're going to talk about walking for water, what that means, how it came about, how these dynamic young people came together and started an initiative that is truly changing the water crisis in Burkina Faso and other parts of West Africa. Sue, are you with us this afternoon?
First off, thank you for all the wonderful work you're doing around the planet. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue. So tell us about what, you know, this is a very important time of the year for you and all the work that you do through Wisdom Springs, Inc. and through with the young people there at the high schools in Leesburg, Virginia, and Sebonfu Somme. Can you tell us what's going on and how we can be involved?
Absolutely. There's a walk coming up on June 4th in Leesburg, Virginia, and Tuscarora High School, Heritage High School, and another high school, Stonebridge and Loudoun County High School, have all been involved in making this happen. Today I have Garrett with me, who is one that has been doing it. Originally started out at Heritage, and then we got a new high school in Leesburg, and now he's one of the main leaders in Tuscarora. But we have a walk at Morven Park Equestrian Center. You can go online to wisdomspringinc.org and sign up online or donate if you can't attend. It's just a fun day with lots of teenagers and lots of joy. These kids work endlessly to make this amazing walk happen. There's going to be Pet-a-Pet Farm and all kinds of wonderful things that these kids continue to grow and expand the walk. A great Walls and Fry group that are going to be playing. It's just a wonderful, fun day, making a difference in the world, putting wells in Africa, which people walk up to 6 hours a day for water over there, where we put the wells in. So we're very grateful. Sebonfu Somme will also be attending.
Yes, and I want to say for those of you who are listening, you know, I think that one of the things that has been really deep in my heart and that I walk for is the injustice of poverty, the injustice of silence and invisibility. And one of the ways that that gets expressed is in communities, not only around the world, but also right here at home, as we've just come through several of the Native American nations here. We must be aware that water issues are major, major issues. And so I just want to commend you and the young people there. Is Garrett online? Because I'd like to ask Garrett, what was his motivation? How did they come about doing this? And did you ever expect it to be where it is now? And maybe even give us some highlights.
Hi, Ms. Williams. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
All righty. I started walking for water back in about my middle school. I'm a junior now at Tuscarora High School in Leesburg, Virginia. And I just really wanted to make a difference, and I found this was an easy way for me to make a difference. And I would start out by going door to door and spreading the word and asking for people to sponsor us, me along with Susan's son. So that's really how I got started in it all. The walk has definitely grown. I've watched it grow. At Tuscarora, we've expanded to multiple high schools in Loudoun County. It started just in Heritage, of course, and now I'm at Tuscarora leading it over here, raising money. We're a brand new school, and we'd done a lot of fundraising. We'd sell pizza on Fridays, and students made cupcakes and brownies to sell to raise money, as well as designing our own eco-friendly bracelets that had said Walking for Water on them, and a lot of students here supported our group by buying the bracelets. As a school, we raised over $2,000. And all that money went to the wells and everything. Our club as well grew from 5 students in the beginning to about 20 students. And now we're just really trying to get sponsorships and spread the word.
Why is this issue important for you, Garrett?
I mean, I think when countries have the resources that they need, peace is brought to people and happiness. And for me to bring happiness and peace to other people when I have everything that I need, it's just a great thing. It's a great feeling.
Right. Now, it's very impressive what you all have done, the amount of money that you've raised and the fact that drills are being put in place. I know specifically in Burkina Faso. What kind of feedback have you had? And I can open this up to Sue or Garrett. What kind of feedback have you had about how this is helping the communities there?
You know, it's funny because I get great stories from Sabantu, and I am actually going back this December, so I'm hoping to get to see the wells again. I saw the first ones put in. But she says people will just run up and just grab her, people she doesn't know when she's in the village or in other villages where she's working to set up the wells. And she said they just start crying and say, you have no idea what life you've given me. So it's just wonderful to get that feedback. And it's made it able so children can go to school because they were walking. And so now we have more children that we're able to help to become educated over there, which is a real gift and another part of giving them a life back, you know. And for those people that don't know, Wisdom Spring is not just about Africa. It's about keeping indigenous people alive. And we hope to expand that to do things here in this country and all over the world where water is needed.
Absolutely. We just came off of the Pine Ridge Reservation, Sue, and then went from Pine Ridge over to Oneida. And, we've got to revitalize our awareness of what's happening on one of the greatest cornerstones of the Turtle Island and who we are as a people here in North America, bringing attention back to our sovereign nations here, because some of the issues that we saw, it's unconscionable that the injustices of poverty are so pervasive right here on our own land.
Absolutely. So we're hoping to team up with a project in the United States, and we've been looking into that.
Well,
so we are very aware that this is not just in Africa. This is all over. And I, in particular, know that other people on the board and the teenagers want to bring water and want to bring life to wherever it's necessary and where we also can keep indigenous cultures alive.
Wonderful. We had, I've been in so many places, I have to stop and think for a minute, but some of you who have listened to the show have heard me talk about a gathering in South Africa where women from around the world who were there for the World Sustainable Summit came together outside of the organizing of the summit, but just decided to come together and pray for the water. And they were telling the stories of, in their villages, how far people are having to walk for water, how due to some of the multinational corporations buying up water rights, how that's impacting their communities. And so a large percentage of their time is just gathering water, walking 5-10 miles. And you can only carry so much water back, and that's the water you eat from, you drink from, you cook from. And one of the unfortunate consequences of that was a lot of dysentery and other diseases that are being proliferated by the not only the lack of water but the lack of quality water. And so what you're doing is so important. In India, we were down in Puttaparthi, and we saw the well project that Sai Baba had initiated in the communities there. His idea was to have wells set up all across India. But we went out into some of the communities, and literally the communities were transformed by having access to water. And as you say, one of the prominent transformations is children being able to now go to school because they're not having to walk with their moms to get the water.
Absolutely. Sabantu tells a story about when she was 3 and she was walking, and she said she wanted to go, and she went, and she tripped like a mile outside of the village, and how it was just devastating because she knew that she was not going to bring her family the water that they needed. And that she cried and just cried and cried and cried. So I just can't imagine the difficulty of that, having been raised in Leesburg and always having water accessible to me.
That's right. That's right. Well, I hope you're collecting all these stories, Sue. And I did notice on your website that you have some video from different projects. I want to encourage people to go to www.wisdomspringinc.org. You can find out information about the walk that's coming up on June 4th. I didn't see the time. What time does the walk start, Sue?
It starts at 8:30 a.m., but you can you can register online ahead of time, and you can get there as early as 7.
Okay. And if people have questions, is there a phone number they can call?
Yes, it's 703-505-5152.
Great. And is there anything else you would like to say? First of all, I just want to acknowledge Garrett and all the young people. I always tell young people, Garrett, you know, we can all make a difference. And so I really salute you and your team for the work that you're doing. I mean, raising $150,000, that's a lot of money. I think
it's actually up to $220,000 they've raised over the past 8 years.
Wow, over $200,000, and that makes a big difference in countries. I guess it's also enabling you to expand from Burkina Faso to some of the surrounding countries there in Africa as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you a lot, Ms. Williams. I'd also just like to say that, like, this club is making the students at Tuscarora High School, we're learning to, through Walking for Water, we're learning to be more grateful for the water and the resources we have. So that's another thing, as well as raising the money, but it's also teaching us a lesson here.
That's a big one, Garrett. That's very important because I think there's a website called Global Issues, and if you go there and you look at the statistics about how much water we consume here in our country versus how much water is consumed in some of these countries around the world, whether you're in Africa, India, or Australia, anywhere, you'll see the imbalance. So the fact that that's teaching the students about conservation of water is so important. Garrett, maybe you all will write a little pamphlet and put it up on the website to help other communities know how they can conserve water and create a consciousness about how we are with our water.
That's a great idea. They have a wonderful teacher who has really expanded it for me, Mimi Westerfeld, who is at Tuscarora, and she's really made these kids look at what the environment needs and how we can help. It's been a wonderful teaching for me as well.
Right. I noticed on your website under Life and Education in Burkina Faso, you have Think About This, and it says we use 25 gallons of water to take a bath, but every day Dagara women walk miles carrying approximately 25 gallons of water on their heads for the tribe. Children start carrying water at age 3. I just want to say that, you know, we need to put that out there around the world so people realize that we must all be called to conscious action. And so we support you. We always have. We'll continue to do that. Anytime you want to report back on what's happening, Garrett and Sue, after the walk, if you want to come on and let us know, you know, how things went, Peace Talks is open to you. And please give my regards to Sabonfu Sumane.
Thank you.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay, and keep up the good work.
You too. We're really, we love what you're doing. Thank you, Audrey. It's wonderful.
Okay, thank you. Just want to let you know you're listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. We've been talking with Sue and Garrett from Wisdom Spring, Inc. out of Leesburg, Virginia, as they are preparing for June 4th. For their walk for water to help raise money to build drill for water wells in Burkina Faso and other countries in Africa. Go on their website, www.wisdomspringsinc.org. You can find out more, not only about the walk, but how you can contribute to this very worthy cause. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back. We're going to be talking with Dorothy Minham from the Oneida Reservation, where we, the 13 Moonwalk for Peace, just left. And we pre-recorded an interview with her regarding the new direction and the new energy and excitement around the case of Leonard Peltier, a hero in our communities, whether we're talking about the Native peoples here on Turtle Island, around the world. He has been a hero for us all, a hero for standing up for justice. And so we want to know what's happening, and she's got the word for us. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the community.
May I walk through my life.
Voice back to the
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams. I want to thank you, Tony, for being on the switchboard today and keeping the show rolling. I want to thank Sue and Garrett from Wisdom Springs, Inc., who were my guests earlier. I'd like to also thank Makua Ray and Karen Drucker for their music, Piece Together Peace, our theme song, Mystic Column, and Karen Drucker for In Beauty, May I Walk, certainly our goal. The piece that you heard earlier was from the website LeonardPeltier.net, and we want to also recognize who is LeonardPeltier.info, the website that you can go to now to get current and update information about what's happening with the case regarding Leonard Peltier, who was wrongfully accused, has been in prison for 35 years for the shootout at Jumping Bull back in June. 26, 1975, and we had an opportunity to speak with Dorothy Meenham from the Oneida Reservation just a week ago, as a matter of fact, and we want to turn the show over now to that interview. We're going to be playing it in three segments, and thank you, Dorothy, for welcoming us into the Oneida Nation, and treating us so beautifully and allowing us to be in ceremony with your family during the time that we were there. And for all the work that you're doing on behalf of Leonard Peltier, thanks to Dorothy. I had an opportunity just to say a quick hello to Leonard. His energy sounds good. He's excited about the new energy now with the hopes of my hope for Leonard is that he's completely exonerated of all of this and walks out. And I remember the day I watched television when Nelson Mandela walked out of prison, and I'm living for the time, and I'm hoping it's in, but before 11-11-11, when we complete the walk, that we'll see the gates open, and we'll see Leonard Peltier walk through those gates and what a representation and victory that will be for the all Native people, not just the Turtle Island, but around the world. And before we turn on the interviews, I just want to say I had a letter from Morocco. I had one from Argentina and one from Australia, all saluting Leonard Peltier. In fact, I just wanted to read from the one from Argentina, the Coya people, who said that they've known of Leonard for years and they've been reading about his story, and they're very happy to hear that we're going to be talking about him. They say that many of our leaders are persecuted unjustly, like our brother Leonard. So I want to send our greeting in this message to the Dakota community for their strength from our cooperation circle, which is a part of the United Religions Initiative. So without further interruption, I want to bring you our interview from the Oneida Nation with Dorothy Ninham, who is now directing the new, the whole legal case, the bringing more and more awareness to Leonard Peltier. I want to turn it over now to that interview.
Welcome to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. It's so great to
thank you.
Be in your presence again, and I'm really excited about the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
We've been talking about Leonard Peltier for a long time, over 30 years.
35 years.
Yeah. And so what excited me so much about our visit together is the work that you're doing, spearheading this whole dynamic now, this shift. I mean, it's the first time I've felt this much life around Leonard's defense in a long time. And so I'm just excited. You know, Peace Talks is available to you anytime. We'll get it out. We'll get it around the world, wherever it needs to go. But let's talk about Leonard Peltier. It was close to us in the time that we grew up in, the 60s and 70s and so forth. But what about people who don't know about Leonard? Why should they, and how are we going to start getting the word out now? And what is it that you want to see happen for Leonard as we come to this moment of a change in leadership for his defense and everything?
Okay, I'll just start with saying what I want to see for Leonard immediately. I want to see him walk out of the prison free of all the labels that have been put on him as a murderer, you know, as whatever the government is labeling him, the FBI. I want him to come out free and able to enjoy the rest of his life in peace. I think he's been in there going on 36 years for something that he didn't do. Fighting for Indian people, I don't know that that's a crime. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in there defending traditional people, babies, elders, and women. I mean, they were there protecting them from gunfire. And for him to be singled out and convicted and serving for a double murder for FBI agents, I think, you know, the thing that's so upsetting to me is that there were, in a three-year period, there were what we call the Reign of Terror, there were 60 murders of Indian people that were never investigated. Nobody's done any time for. Mm-hmm. They're still sitting out there. Nobody has paid a price for any of that. It's like, what's the matter? Isn't there any, don't we have any value on our own people's lives?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that, none of that was ever investigated, or nothing was ever done with it. And yet he's sitting there for two FBI agents who shouldn't have even been on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And for something as petty as, they claimed they were following the lead on somebody who stole a pair of cowboy boots. I mean, what is this? FBI now gets paid to follow petty thieves around, if that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't even the case anyway.
Right. What I want to interject here, Dorothy, for those who may be listening to the show,
mm-hmm.
want to know more about, check out the film Warrior by Susie Bear.
Yes.
Because there's some interesting things that were aligning before this incident happened at Wounded Knee.
Yes.
I understand that right around the time the shooting was when the uranium was discovered, and the government was taking that land.
The day of the shootout, Dickie Wilson was signing off, I think it was like a quarter of the Pine Ridge Reservation for uranium mining on there. And the people didn't know about it. It's another tactic that the government used to get attention away from what they're doing and the people that are selling off to them, and you know.
And the other thing that I don't know if people know, and if you watch the film, is that before the shootout, there was a buildup of FBI agents on the reservation, right?
Yes. And what was that for?
Yeah.
What was that for?
Mm-hmm.
It just is, the whole thing stinks.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a whole setup. I don't know how they could think of it as anything else. Mm-hmm. They were there, and they sent these two FBI agents in. And from what I understand, those two guys that went in anyway, some of the local people said that they were there harassing people before. Anyway, they it sounded like, you know, like some of them weren't very well liked anyway. So, I mean, not that they should have been shot or, you know, whatever happened, but I think some of it, what we believe happened by their own people.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then, if, you know, one of the things that I was surprised watching the reservation, we came here from Pine Ridge,
yeah.
from right near Wounded Knee, and one of the things that surprised me when I was watching the video is you had tanks going through there. You could have been watching something in Vietnam or
yeah.
somewhere, you know, back mm-hmm. in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, there were tanks all over the place. There was, you know, just the whole guard and I guess army. The military people were all over the place, so the environment was being really set for something to happen.
Yes, well, you know, the same environment existed during Wounded Knee, the second Wounded Knee, because they brought in their armored tanks, they brought the FBI, brought in weapons and artillery for the guys that were there. They called themselves the Guardian, the Goon Squad.
The Goon Squad.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but they brought those, they supplied them with ammunition and guns, and alcohol, you know, and let them go after some of the traditional people. And I just think it's such a shame, you know, and the reason is, again, our land.
Yes.
You know, it's the bottom line, again,
the
bottom
line. And so now, here we are 36 years later.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get yourself back involved in this case? What was your passion that said, you know what, no matter what's going on in my life, I've got to get involved here?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I've always remembered is, you know, we started the third AIM chapter in the United States back in 1970 in Milwaukee, and we had a real strong chapter there. And I think that when we did Wounded Knee and when we did the Coast Guard Station takeover, what we all made a pact with at that time is to say, okay, you know, some of us might go to jail, some of us might go to prison, but we're not going to forget about our brothers and our sisters that are caught up in that. We're going to defend them, and we're going to fight to get them free. If anything happens, we're going to take care of their families, and we're going to be there for one another. And I think that that always stayed with me. It's like, you know, this hasn't ended, and it's not going to end until Leonard is free.
Exactly.
You know, we can't just leave him out there hanging for no reason at all. I mean, especially him being innocent,
mm-hmm.
and then to just leave him, and we can't forget about him. You know, it's part of who I am to say, you know, we started this, and we, you know, we're not finished.
Yeah, and then there's so much evidence to support him.
Yes.
So we can talk a little bit about that. There's been so many people, influential people around the world,
yes.
in the international courts, as well as in the U.S. Congress, as well as people like Desmond Tutu and others,
yes.
who have been calling for his release for years.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So what's some of the evidence that's really shaking now? I know you mentioned that there are about 25 points in this case now that are all questionable violations.
Yeah, we talked about that. When I talked to Leonard, he said that some of the attorneys that were doing their research and whatever the investigation are saying that there's at least 25 violations of the Constitution that they found just in his case alone. And for one of them is that the FBI manufactured the murder weapon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they hid that from the jury so that the intimidation and the threatening of witnesses with Myrtle Pourbaix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the jury really bought into her big time, and yet she admitted, but not to the jury, she admitted that she had never seen Leonard before in her life until the day they had her in court, and, you know, she had signed off on affidavits
mm-hmm.
that the FBI had written.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them were different, and yet she signed all three of them, you know, and every one of them was just a way of getting him convicted,
right.
but they were all, none of them were even true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then even where they had the trial, right?
They moved it to Fargo
mm-hmm.
because they knew, the FBI knew that they had a judge there who was going to prosecute him. There was no way they were going to let him slide.
Right, because two others that had already been indicted
they
got off.
They were acquitted. Yeah,
so now he's the third one coming on.
Yeah, Dina Butler was acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Robert was acquitted. And Jimmy Eagle was, I can't remember what, the charges were dropped
mm-hmm.
on him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because the attorney that's representing Leonard now also represented Jimmy Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was not convicted.
Right.
But, yeah, they went after Leonard.
So you say the attorney now. So has there been a whole change in the whole defense
team now?
Yeah, the whole defense team has changed. We now have Robert Bryan out of California. He also represented Mumia, I believe he's out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his case until recently, and when he resigned from the case, he said that he now had time to work on Leonard's case, and he wanted to do that. And he said he specializes in death penalty sentences, or, you know, and the reason he was taking Leonard's case is because he feels that it is a death sentence, only it's a slow death over, you know, over his lifetime.
So. Yeah. So speaking of that, how is Leonard doing?
Leonard is doing pretty well, considering, you know, he's in a supermax prison. He tells me that a lot of people think he gets special privilege because of who he is, but he isn't getting it. In fact, I think they're a little bit harder on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his health is deteriorating. He was just tested recently for prostate cancer. Since he's been in there, he's had a stroke and suffered some sight to his left eye. I mean, he was suffering from lockjaw since he was a little boy. You know, is what he's saying, and they did surgery on him when he was in Leavenworth and almost killed him there, and they almost bled to death. So his health continues to be an issue. He's got diabetes and he's got high blood pressure. So
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a matter of time with the prostate, too, because he said that a lot of the signs that led them to test him for prostate are still there. So he's not even trusting the results that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and how can you trust him when somebody tries to kill you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there have been
several attempts to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about the spirit of Leonard Peltier? You know, we're sitting here in your home with these magnificent paintings, which in a minute we'll go around and you can tell us about that. But it seems as though the painting is key to his spirit. Would you say that?
Yes, I think so. You know, and what he says is that, you know, he's free with his painting. He loves to paint, and that's when his, you know, his mind is free and he just concentrates on what he's doing, but he's got some really beautiful artwork. And his spirit is, you know, when I visit him, he seems to be, you know, he's always, he's uplifting to everybody around him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a really strong spirit, he's got a strong presence,
mm-hmm.
and I just think that Spirit of Crazy Horse is riding in him, you know.
Yeah. And in fact, you were telling me earlier that the Spirit of Crazy Horse is how he identifies what he's going through, and the meaning behind that is no matter what they do to his body, his spirit is soaring, and he will be free.
Yes, he will be free.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as I look at certain pieces of art, I see that in there. I see the depth of his connection to the human story, you know, from the deepest pain to the highest sense of freedom.
Yes.
You know, it comes through. And also a sense of responsibility for his people and for the land, you know. So I think that perhaps that's a great gift, you know, here is someone who's been incarcerated for 36 years or something. He hasn't done.
Yes.
He continues to be a leader in his own right for our people. And then he's gifting all of humanity with this work.
Yes. A lot of his paintings are donated to organizations so that they can they can sell them and raise money. He just does it out of his love for painting, but he donates everything that he paints. And I mean, he's helped like some of the women's shelters. You know, Pine Ridge Reservation has benefited a lot from him. And in fact, he was asking me to find a way to sell some of the paintings to raise some money for diabetes on his reservation, Trail Mountain Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
They lost some federal funding, and he wanted a way to help them so that the elders wouldn't be suffering. So he was saying, find a way so that you can sell some of the paintings to raise money for that reservation.
Right.
You know, he said, that's my home, and, you know, I just want to make a contribution there. So
right.
He talks about building a hospital there when he gets out, and, you know, like a really nice medical center, and doing the kinds of things, working with children, you know, working with people, and just helping and teaching, you know.
Yeah. So, and he's also using these paintings to help, and let's talk about this because I think this is really important, to help support his defense fund, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. How this new team, this new energy, how do we keep it going? How do we support it? What do you need from those who may be listening to this show now or in the future? What do we need to do?
I think what everybody needs to understand is that the only way we can pay for the legal defense and continue to go is by selling his artwork. He donates, he can't have anything to do with the sale of it or the money of it or anything like that, but when he donates his paintings out,
then we can sell the paintings and pay for the attorneys. And so I think it's really important to let people know that they can order prints, they can order the giclées, they can order the originals if they want to, but the artwork is out there, and it's so beautiful. We have so many pieces that we would like, you know, we'd just love to share.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Turtle Mountain next week, and what we're going to do is take some of the artwork out there so that some of the tribal people from, you know, from his tribe can see some of the tremendous work he's done.
Absolutely, and I see us really putting, you know, getting this into galleries all around the country, and even around the world.
Around
because,
the world,
we need support from all four corners.
Yes, we do.
Of the Earth. Yeah, so we're going to work on that. Let's see, I wanted to also ask, where do you see this movement going? How do we give you the momentum at your back to help you do what you do?
I think, I really don't know, except the, you know, like the monetary support and, you know, the... I don't know what's going to keep me going. Yeah, I mean, I know I'm going to continue to go no matter what. But I guess the financial help is a really big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do anything without the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I see us fighting for his immediate release through the house arrest program, which Turtle Mountain has set up already for him. They're saying if you let him come here, we can, you know, we'll supervise him, we'll do whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll you know, get him a place to live. We'll take care of all of that. They have their own probation officers.
Right.
Their own whatever that work with the court system,
mm-hmm.
A transfer to a lesser kind of federal institution or penitentiary would be a big relief to
right.
me. So you know that we wouldn't have to worry about him with attempts on his life or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
and just so that he could be moved to a place where he could get the kind of medical care that he needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know I really worry about his health.
Yeah,
and then. What I would love to see happen is a new trial with the evidence so that we can clear his name and let the whole world know. I mean, we already know that he's innocent.
Right.
You know, but I guess to put it out there and make the government and make the court admit
mm-hmm.
that there was no wrongdoing on his part, and, you know, he's only defending his people, but he didn't do it by murdering anybody either.
Yes, right.
He was there, you know.
And cleared his name.
Yes.
So that he doesn't have that over his head.
Yeah.
I think one of the things also that I would like to put on your list of how people can help, and, you know, all kinds of ideas, but we want to follow you, so
mm-hmm.
whatever you think is appropriate. I think, one, we've got to start getting the word back out,
yes.
you know, because we've got another whole generation or two now that we need to educate about Leonard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They can be a support for us.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes, education.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, like we used to have a speaker's bureau at the healthcare office, and I think to just revive that again and get people out speaking in the schools, I think his case should even be in the colleges. That should be one of the cases that is on the curriculum to...
A case study
in the law school.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is already in some of them, but
mm-hmm.
I think everybody should know about what happened
right.
to him. Because if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that he represents a whole lot of what went down in Indian country.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And he's out there during the time for all of us.
Yes.
You know, so I think that everybody needs to be educated. Everybody on every street corner should know his name,
mm-hmm.
what he stands for, and what has happened to him.
Well, Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio, we commit ourselves to whatever way we can work
mm-hmm.
in helping to get the word out. That's something that I feel that we can do. And maybe we can even start asking our listening audience to send in a writing, a letter of support, maybe get a petition going, whatever. We just start collecting. Whatever you think is appropriate, we just want you to know that we're there to help you and to connect you, you know, as we've traveled around the world walking for peace over these last 10, 12 years, almost 12 years now. We've developed quite a following around the world, and we're going to get to some of those radio stations, especially some of the indigenous stations, and start doing what we can to help in the support.
You know, I think it's really important that we do that, because I had talked to some people at some point, and they were saying, I didn't even know he was still in prison.
Yes.
You know, and I'm thinking, how can you not know that?
Yeah.
You know, well, with me right now, I live and breathe that every single day, knowing that he's there and that he shouldn't be there.
Mm.
You know, and it's just so wrong that I find it hard to understand that some people are, that they just don't even know that he's still there. I don't know what they think happened to him, but Well, I think that's why I feel so enthusiastic about you taking around now, mm-hmm. the reins now, because there has been this lull,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what we've got to do now is get back out there and make Leonard's name as well known as anybody else's,
yeah.
and so that we can have the people, the energy of the people behind him as well.
And I think they want to be behind him, and a lot of them are. They just don't know what they can do.
Yes,
you know, they don't know what they can do to help, because there was a movement for a while out there, and I'm not sure where it started, but I started calling some of the people that I knew supported him
mm-hmm.
in the past and started to try to reactivate them, and they're saying that they've been out of touch with him for so long because they were told that they couldn't write to him,
yeah.
and that is completely untrue. I mean, mm-hmm. you can write to him, you can send him letters, you can do all of that, you know?
So if someone wanted to send Leonard a letter,
mm-hmm.
how would they do that?
They can send it, they can go to, you know, they can go to the website and get his address, or, you know, I don't know how I can give it to you to get out there, but it's, you know, you have to have his number and everything, but if anybody calls me, I'd be more than happy to share his address,
okay.
and, you know, how to get in touch with him, because I think it's really important that we keep his spirits up and that we let him know that we're behind him.
Absolutely.
You know, that we aren't going to give up.
Okay.
We aren't going to stop fighting until he's free.
Now, can he get an email as well as physical mail, or is a letter better than trying to do email?
A letter would be better, because
okay.
he has a limited number of people he can have on the email list.
Right.
And he can make phone calls, but there's also a limit to that. He only gets, like, I think he gets 300 minutes a month, but he has to pay for the emails and the phone calls himself.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to get on the website,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get the write-in information.
Okay.
And then what we'll do is we'll post that with the interview so
oh,
that
good.
People
yeah.
can have access to that, and
mm-hmm.
maybe we can get some letters flowing and let Leonard know how important he is to us.
I know. He has to know that.
He doesn't need to be sitting there thinking he's lost to us. You know,
yeah.
he's still a hero.
Mm-hmm.
In our community.
Yes. I think he knows that we support him. You know, I think he's getting that again, you know. But I think for a while it sounded like he was kind of not understanding, or, you know, he just doesn't want, he wants us to get out there and light that fire, you know,
exactly.
get that fire going again, you know.
Right.
And that's what we intend to do.
Okay. Well, we're going to do that. And what I was thinking we could do now, let's look at some of the paintings,
okay.
and maybe you can tell us a story about them, and
okay.
and then we can finish up talking about the key role that these paintings play in terms of helping to support this defense effort we have going now, and
yeah.
how we don't want to free Leonard. We know we're going to free
yeah,
Leonard,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so we want people to know how they can help us do that. And with Dorothy, with you there, I feel so confident that we're right there. So
glad you got a chance to stop in, and, you know, thank you for all the walking that you've done, and for all of the talking that you've done to people across the country, and all of the efforts that you've done, you know, toward peace. That's a big undertaking on your part, and, you know, I appreciate that, and I really love you for doing everything you're doing, and, you know, you're changing the world.
Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you for allowing us to be here with you. And your
peace. The dynamic of harmonizing good. Allow it to flow through your soul, because inside, it will make you whole. I'm talking about you being you. Because no one else can set you free but you.
I'm putting gas in my car. I'm thinking about the war in Iraq. The air we breathe in is toxic, and there's way more than that. The situation's international. Matter of fact, it's intergalactic. But don't make me get into that. Don't see how some be sleeping on the street, while others, they be living a life that's so sweet. I envision a world where everyone's needs will meet. Living off the earth in harmony and peace.
The only reason some still be packing heat
is because their lives is so incomplete. We were all born perfect with everything we need to be free. Yet something happened, man, we stopped believing all we could be. Let's remember we're a part of nature. Expressing love is what we're made for. Deep in your heart, the answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. Don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe. Say, I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. Tsunamis, wars, and famines. Between religions, misunderstandings. Many different people with the same passions. Just disconnected from our cause and
time we recognize the law of attraction and see we receiving exactly what we asking. And my focus on lack and limitations, fear and separation, and I'm open to a new conversation. I'm talking about the love vibration. Everybody a change is moving across the nation. Yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's 'cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. So take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing, but more stuff. Happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we give. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, that I can feel it calling me, I'ma be the change, it's all in me.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your Pookie Bear.
Your Lammy Lumpkins.
Your Bubby Chubs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex. So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to 4parents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.